Agriculture Today continues now, and we're very well aware of the trials and tribulations this 2011 winter wheat crop has gone through, particularly in western Kansas with the severe dry conditions that wheat crop has endured. Well, recently, a research agronomist for K-State based in southwest Kansas put together a summary over several decades of wheat yields, how they respond to climatic conditions. John Holman joins us now. John, what prompted you to go about this study? Apparently, there was a lack of previous information on climate conditions and yield reaction in wheat.
At least not. We have a good idea, you know, dry conditions, freezes, those kinds of things. But so far, until we analyzed all this, we had not taken the time to look back over history and see what that response has been, to summarize the historical effects. And we looked at 55 years of data, so over four sites, so quite a lot of data.
For specifics here, the four sites that you looked at are all K-State research facilities. Where were those?
Right, Eric. We looked at the four locations were Kobe, Hayes, Tribune, and Garden City, Kansas.
And did you look at dry land as well as irrigated?
We looked at both dry land and irrigated. For the Kobe, Tribune, and Garden City locations, those sites had both a dry land and an irrigated experiment associated with them. The Hayes location, it only had a dry land experiment associated with it. And where this data came from was the historical winter wheat variety plots where we do variety performance studies.
Which go back again, as you say, 55 years at those locations. Climatic factors here, what did you hone in on?
Well, we wanted to look at several things. We wanted to look at, you know, first of all, location. So for a grower out in western Kansas, what locations are similar to each other? So we first of all looked at that. And we found for irrigation, there was no difference. So for western Kansas under irrigation, those results would be very applicable to you from at any one of those locations. Dry land, we saw something a little bit different. We saw that the Tribune and Garden City locations were very similar to each other, whereas the Hayes and Kobe locations were different than the southern part of the state, and that they were very similar to each other.
Those differences from, say, north to south have everything to do with soil type, or what was working there?
Well, after we looked at location, then we looked at monthly temperature and precipitation, and it appears to be associated with the environment in which that wheat is grown in, from in the south compared to the north part of the western Kansas.
And you might elaborate on temperature and precipitation differences. That, as one looks at the paper you've put together on this topic, that seems to be the area of true interest here.
Right. You know, as we know as we go from west to east, we pick up precipitation. And as we go from south to north, you know, the temperature gets a little bit cooler. And so that environment, monthly rainfall and temperature affect wheat yield. And what we found was, for moisture concerned, the months that have the biggest impact on yield was rainfall that occurred up until April. The precipitation we get after the month of April, really that precipitation is too late in the growing season to do us a lot of good in terms of yield. It may help with kernel fill, but in terms of setting our yield potential, it's really too late in the growing season. So, you know, we look at the year that we've had in western Kansas this year. It's been an awfully rough year for wheat. We've been very dry all the way up until maybe this week we'll be getting some more moisture, hopefully. But, you know, we've had very dry conditions, and that has sure shown up in terms of yield. And what we saw in the southern part of the state compared to the northern part of the state is the southern part of the state was more impacted by October precipitation. Mm-hmm. And what that means is that it was more challenging in southwest Kansas to get a stand established compared to northwest Kansas. And really that October precipitation, if we can get a good stand established in southwest Kansas, that almost impacted yield more than the yield improvements that we've had over time. So that was a pretty amazing finding to us that, yes, we've seen improvements, and we know what that improvement is over time. We measured that in this study. But it showed how important it was for that October precipitation to get a stand established. And then the other thing that impacted yield more than yield improvement over time in the southern part of the state was April temperature. So real warm April spring temperatures in the southern part of the state, what that does is that breaks the winter hardiness of that winter wheat plant and makes it more susceptible to a spring freeze in April. So spring freezes and getting a stand established in the southwest Kansas is really causing a lot of the variability in yield. Whereas northwest Kansas, we didn't see precipitation as far as getting a stand established or freeze impact yield variability near as much as year itself. So for the northern part of the state, yield has been more dependent on year. So the improvements that we've done in terms of nitrogen, another fertility program, weed control, cultural practices, getting a stand established, and genetic improvements, of course, has explained more of that yield variability in the northern part of the state.
You have a number of factors going in different directions and different variations here, it sounds. So when it comes down to the usefulness of this information, you think that there are some things to draw from as wheat breeders look to the next lines of wheat and what genetic traits to center their efforts on?
Yes, you know, I sure think so. What we saw was for the western part of the state as a whole, if you look at dryland and irrigated everything, yields have increased about a half a bushel each year. So that's really good for the producers of the state. You know, that's really shows, you know, the money that they contribute to checkoff dollars. That money is going to develop better technology to grow the crop, to better varieties. That's paying them dividends. So that's good for the grower. That's also good for K-State and other, you know, breeding programs that were doing a good job. What we saw was that for dry land, we're seeing about a little better yield increase in the northern part of the state, about 0.8 bushels per year, whereas the southern part of the state, only about 0.3 bushels per year. And that lower yield increase has been due to this problem of getting a good stand established in the fall and having that crop not be yield be hurt by spring freezes. So that tells us that we can focus more on trying to do a better job at getting within what we are capable of doing. You know, obviously, if we have dry conditions, it makes everything challenging. But through breeding efforts, planting practices, you know, what things can we identify to get the best stand established in the fall, and then breed varieties less susceptible to spring freeze damage, will help increase those yields.
And actually, it's interesting for what has happened to wheat in far western and southwestern Kansas this year is a real testimonial to what you found in this analysis about stand establishment and about freeze injury. Both of those factors in play this year.
Right, and we actually were able to quantify or get an idea of what we would consider a noticeable freeze event, what that costs us in terms of yield. And that was about 8 or 10 bushel on average. There are certain years that are way worse than that, but on average, a freeze event costs us about 8 to 10 bushel yield potential. So we certainly were able to identify these different factors that are affecting yield, and that's a first step to then address some of those concerns.
Indeed. Well, a historical review of what's gone on at those four sites within the Kansas State University Research System. Very important here for wheat breeders and for farmers to know what the difference makers are over time as far as wheat yields with regard to climate conditions. It's good work, John, and we appreciate the summary right here. Thanks for joining us.
I just wish we could make it rain.
Right. You bet. That's research agronomist based in Garden City for Kansas State University, John Holman, and he conducted this work recently, Yield Response to Climatic Conditions, over 55 years of field data from Kansas State at four locations, Colby, Hayes, Garden City, and Tribune. The difference maker, as this study finds, more often than not, the timing of precipitation and warm temperatures. And by the way, on the subject of wheat, as we head to the break, coming up the week after next, May the 2nd through the 5th, is the annual Hard Winter Wheat Tour through Kansas, Nebraska, Colorado, and Oklahoma, sponsored by the Wheat Quality Council. K-State Crop Production Specialist Jim Schroyer, as usual, will be touring with that group, and he has agreed to provide daily reports on what they're seeing in the way of wheat yield projections. So look forward to those starting Tuesday, May the 3rd. This is Agriculture Today. After a few moments away, today's agricultural news headlines, and once more we'll hear from Mary Knapp on Kansas agricultural weather, still ahead here on the K-State Radio Network.